top headlines.
Red Sox and Blue Jays wrap up their three-game set. They'll get underway a little over an hour from now. Andrew Benintendi will lead off. He's in center field, followed by Xander Bogaerts at short. J.D. Martinez batting third and playing left. Rafael Devers at third. Then it's Eduardo Nunez, your DH. Brock Holt at second base. Blake Swihart is at first base today. Christian Vasquez behind the plate. Jackie Bradley Jr. in right. Eduardo Rodriguez getting the start, trying to improve on his 5-1 record and 4.02 ERA. Rick Porcello got the start last night. J.D. Martinez, happy for him.
I think it's very important for, you know, Ricky, our starting pitcher, to always go out there and have a good start. You know, so for him to go out there and do what he did, it's great.
6 2/3 innings for Porcello last night, allowing the three runs, two of them earned on five hits. Game two of the Stanley Cup Final is tonight in Las Vegas. The Golden Knights lead the series 1-0 over the Capitals. Game one between the Cavaliers and Warriors happens tomorrow night in Oakland to begin the NBA Finals. And the Philadelphia 76ers doing their own investigation after a report by The Ringer shows that President of Basketball Operations Brian Colangelo could be using multiple anonymous Twitter accounts to support his own decisions and take shots at his own players. Colangelo has already admitted that one of the burner accounts was, in fact, his. Headlines are brought to you by the Boston Area Campus of Connecticut School of Broadcasting. Get in the game. Visit GoCSB.com for more details. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Talking about the Pats, Sox, Celtics, Bruins, Revolution, 98.5, The Sports Hub. They work.
Arr, matey.
While you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know, I want to get it out.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand from the Baseball Tavern. Red Sox playing a day game later this afternoon at Fenway Park, closing out their series with the Blue Jays.
Jesus. What? Turn around.
They're everywhere, man.
No, just turn around.
Do I have to?
Is it Halloween?
I mean, look.
Where?
What do you got? So.
Unbelievable.
Unreal. Got a bit of an odd crowd here today.
You think?
What a fun one.
How long have we been here since we've been doing this?
A while.
You've done a lot of remotes.
I've done a lot of remotes.
You've done a lot of remotes in your time.
I've done plenty of them. I've done plenty of those remotes. 617-779-0985. We're going to continue with some of your Celtics calls. Do want to get back to the Red Sox this hour. 12:50, we expect. How are we phrasing this, Jim? 12:50 Wednesdays is when Brad Stevens typically calls us.
I think we'd be surprised if he calls in.
We have no indications that he won't be calling in today.
We literally seconds ago just got confirmation he will be calling in.
Oh, my
all right.
Oh God,
we just got an email back. We're good. We're a go.
You want to practice?
No.
Yeah, I think
no,
we should.
So Brad Stevens.
I think we should.
Okay,
we should.
What?
Come on.
Oh, you want to do it?
Let's do it. Okay. Let's do a practice.
Final Brad Stevens interview of the year. We welcome in the head coach of the Boston Celtics. Hi, Brad.
Hi, guys. What's going on?
Hey, coach, getting ready for the finals. You excited for them?
See, you need to practice for real. You don't have
no, no, for real. Do it for real.
You don't have enough time or talent to mess around. We are talking 45 minutes from now. You're gonna have to do this for real. Now, give it a real shot this time.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, Brad, how's it going?
Good, guys. What's up?
What are you doing your time off now, coach? Stop it.
I don't think that's the best question.
Well, I'll come up with something better.
Will you?
Will you? Because that's why we do this.
One more?
No.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe at the bottom of the hour. Let me think about
it. Okay. We'll do that at the bottom of the hour. So, yeah, 12:50 is when Brad Stevens will call us. We're going to do a year ender with Brad Stevens. Looking forward to that. Meanwhile, there's a trade rumor with the Celtics already. Off-season underway, Zoe. This from Sean Devaney, Sporting News, typically a good source for this information. NBA trade rumors. Celtics interested in Mo Bamba. Could move up in the draft, according to Sporting News sources. Mo Bamba out of the University of Texas. There have been rumors in the past year about Boston chasing the likes of Anthony Davis and Karl-Anthony Towns.
Well, Mo Bamba number five.
The answer could be slightly different. Texas center Mo Bamba, who's expected to be one of the top picks in this year's draft. Sources tell the Sporting News that Boston has expressed interest in Bamba, including interviewing him at the Chicago pre-draft combine 2 weeks ago. Bamba measured in with a record wingspan of 7'10 in Chicago. Holy crap! 7'10! So, 7'10.
So they say from tip to tip.
Feet.
From your tip to tip, it should be your height, right? So if I'm 6'5", my example.
Is that right?
Yeah.
No, is that right?
Yeah, if I'm 6'5".
It's not always that way,
though.
From
tip to tip, it should be pretty close.
Okay.
But some guys obviously have longer
arms. Yeah, some guys have longer arms. Some guys have shorter arms.
Right. Yeah. Tip to tip, that should be generally your size.
Okay.
7'10".
7'10".
Wow, that's a wingspan. What do you think that guy's
doing? He's not 7'10". He has longer arms than usual. You can't always predict it.
Right.
So they have interest in Mo Bamba, which would require them to move up in the draft. They can't get him with their picks, which means they'd have to give somebody up, somebody of value.
Oh, Rozier.
That's not going to be enough to do that.
Yeah, I know, but that's like where Rozier or Smart come into play, but you don't have Smart's rights.
So it says in this story, it's almost certain the Celtics would not move rookie forward Jason Tatum. Yeah, no kidding. But they do have... they do have other assets that they could use, including Terry Rozier, Jaylen Brown. Team president Danny Ainge has been aggressive in his attempts to build the Celtics into a championship-caliber team. So Mo Bamba is someone the Celtics are interested in, and Sean Devaney, Sporting News, says Boston would probably have to include this year's draft pick and at least one next year when the Celtics own Sacramento's pick, which is protected for the first overall, as well as Memphis's pick, which is top eight protected. So you're talking maybe three draft picks and a couple of players moving up into the top five picks, we'll say, and drafting Mo Bamba out of Texas. But according to the Sporting News, the Celtics have interest. That's how they're phrasing it. Maz is texting me. You know the picture, Da Vinci with the circle around the guy? That, generally speaking, that holds up. But that's not true for everybody.
Right. Right, that's when you have your freaks of nature, which are like superhuman athletes, which sort of go off the charts on some of these.
Yeah, Vitruvian Man by Da Vinci. Right?
Yeah. Now, I remember playing with guys, and you got guys coming off the edge. Yeah, they're edge rushers. You want their knuckles dragging on the ground. You want them to have that long reach to get around and get the hands up, knock balls down.
7'10".
Mass, add to the show.
7'10".
7'10". Like, you ain't throwing here.
Talk about some wings,
I got this one covered. Hey, talk about that. Yeah, I mean, hey, I got to be able to cover the lane. There's your five. Al Horford's on 7'10".
Well, this is why I find this interesting. If this is true, right, and they're not just doing their due diligence because, let's be honest, a lot of teams do a lot of interviews with a lot of players because you just never know. But.
I can't.
I think he's wearing stirrups. He's wearing stirrups.
Full uniform, man. Just walk by. Get a picture, though. Go get a picture of that. We need a picture of that guy. We need a picture of that guy. Right there he is. Move over a window. There you go. Get a picture of that. The listeners need to see that. Holy smokes.
Nice crisp fitted hat.
I mean, I don't get distracted like that often, but that is distracting.
People think he's somebody, though. People on the street.
People are stopping to talk to the guy because he's older and he has a full uniform on. Older with a full uniform.
I'm going to tell you, and he has white hair and he's cleanly shaven. I'm telling you why they're stopping, because it looks like
he's
Bill Lee.
Coach.
No, they think he's Bill Lee.
No. Oh, my God.
There it is.
Full uniform.
Which one? That one?
Yeah, that's not even a good one because you can't see his stirrups and his shoes. He looks like a manager.
If
he
looks going like, to the game, he'll be on Nesson.
Honestly,
today. He'll be on Nesson if
he could walk through the gate and tell them he's on the staff. Sorry, I didn't mean to blow it up like that. But back to this idea. If the story is true and it's more than just due diligence and they have a real interest in moving up to get Mo Bamba, it tells you that they have a real interest in getting a real center, getting a true big man. That's what it tells you, that they want to build a team that way.
Horford doesn't like to play the five, right?
Yes, true. They want to get a true five.
He can almost touch the top of the backboard.
Oh, my God, he's a freak. Look at how big he is.
So his head is almost hitting the rim, and his hand is almost on top of the backboard.
I like him.
617-779-0985. We'll get more of your calls coming up. And, again, we just got confirmation that Brad Stevens is going to join us at 1250. So we'll do a year-end wrap-up with Brad Stevens. And Zoe is going to ask him the first question. And we hope and pray it will be a good one. We'll get back to your Celtics calls. Also, the David Price stuff from earlier as well. That's next.
Zola, and Bertrand. Middays on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand at the Baseball Tavern, brought to you by Budweiser today. 617-779-0985. We'll get to David Price momentarily.
Yep.
Want to clear out some of these calls before we do that. Brendan in Cambridge. Brendan.
What's going on, guys?
What's up, Bree?
Not much. Couple quick Celtics thoughts. So, do you think that they'll trade Terry Rozier without having Marcus Smart signed up for next year? I think a big factor. You can't lose his defensive intensity and what he brings to that backcourt behind Kyrie. And then also, I'm not trading anything more than Rozier and maybe two picks to get back up in the lottery. And what do you guys think it's going to cost for them to get up there and maybe snag Mo Bamba?
A lot. I think it's going to cost Brown and Rozier and those picks. I think Devaney knows what he's talking about. It's a lot. It's crazy to get up that high in the draft. You got to remember, in the NBA, it's not like the end of the first round is valuable. Top 10 picks is what people want. That's it.
If you give them Rozier and the Kings pick and the Memphis pick, that probably gets it done without Jaylen Brown. That's two top 10 picks and Terry Rozier. They might have to wait a couple years for that second pick. But
the problem is if you have other teams that want them and are willing to give up more. Like, if there's a competition.
He wanted to give up four picks for Justice Winslow.
True.
To like eight different teams.
It's true. Maybe they do that. The problem is the Celtics don't have the same treasure trove of picks anymore.
I know. That's who you got to.
They don't.
It's just when Ainge falls in love with a guy, he just goes, he's all in.
Yeah.
You know, look at Jason Tatum.
Yeah, luckily someone stopped him before he did that.
Yeah,
Justice Winslow.
He would have lost Jaylen Brown if they had gotten Justice Winslow.
There's times, too, where it seems like Brown would carry you. You could never say, like, Rozier carried. Rozier would hit big shots, he would score. But if you're another team and up something and you want to acquire something, I think it almost starts more with Jaylen Brown than it does Terry Rozier. And then you combo him. I mean, but Brown would be the higher up one there.
Let's go to Mark, who's in Georgetown. Mark, how you been?
What's up, guys? What's going on?
What's going on? Woo!
Nothing. Hey, so, yeah, sorry, it's been a long time since I called. But, yeah, so I'm sorry if I'm a little late on this, but this Cassius Marsh thing with the kid saying he didn't like playing here or whatever it was. Why do Patriots fans make – listen, I love the Pats more than anybody, but, like, why do Patriots fans make a big deal when somebody says something like this? What is everybody supposed to have the time of their life playing here? Maybe it wasn't for him. Maybe it wasn't his thing. Maybe it wasn't his – I don't know. But, like, why do people have to be like, oh, you must not, like, win and loser if the guy has something bad to say about the Pats next, you know, when he leaves or something like that? Also, who is this kid? What did he block a punt in 2016? I think that's the only time I remember hearing his name. I don't know why everybody gets all up and up. This is why when Patriots fans get obnoxious is when they do stuff like this. Who cares? Who cares about this kid? Like,
Mark, I agree.
Oh, God.
I agree.
Oh, my God.
I completely agree with what he just said, what I said yesterday. He's not worth being upset about. Who cares? He's Cassius Marsh. It would be so much more interesting.
Right.
If a good player said this, a guy who is a winner, a guy who you really like, a guy who's contributed in a big way, who comes out and says, yeah, you know what? Hey, I've earned my, you know, status in the NFL. You know what I am as a player.
Yep.
You know my work ethic.
Yep.
And I think X, Y, and Z about Bill, and it's negative. Then you Then it's worth discussing and saying, well, wait a minute.
You want to put this all to rest? I mean, a guy like Shane McClellan, who retired because of head injuries, had a fantastic time here. A guy who calls it like he sees and has lived it. I listened to the Tom Curran, Phil Perry, Gerard Mayo podcast on the way here today.
Yep.
And they talked specifically about Marks. They did a lot on Memorial Day, what Memorial Day means. There's good stories in there because Mayo connects it. And he says, I'm not trying to tie the military, and I never would. The military is not the way it is in New England. It's not like that in the National Football League. He said, but I find it very, very, very peculiar when you have these guys that come in from other programs that are coming from – quote-unquote country club-type atmospheres where you're in shells and you're doing walkthroughs and maybe you could come in and work when you want. You know, it's very stringent the way we do things. You're expected to act a certain way. You're expected to work out a certain way. You know, when you're an outside linebacker, and he's talking about specifically what he wants to do, and off the Marsh comments, like, I just want to rush the passer and rush the passer. Well, on a certain defense, if we got a call on, you can't go. And if there's two guys released to the flat to your side, you got to be smart enough to know, I got to pick up first guy removed. And that's the way you got to do it, and you got to react. But he said, it takes so much work to get to that point. And it is monotonous. But damn, we're prepared. We're ready to go on game day. Really good inside stuff.
And that's not for everybody. And look around the NFL.
Phil Perry
has a lot of bad teams with bad players that are poorly coached. There's a lot of that in the league. It's what allows the Patriots to separate themselves. So be thankful that there are a lot of guys in this league like Cassius Marsh.
Yeah.
Because guys like that are what allow this team to outwork other teams and win.
Monty Beisel was like that. I keep going back to him, and it also reminded me more of Beisel because Phil Perry brought up another point. He said there was a point where there's media availability in the locker room, and it was basically Cassius Marsh and another player in the locker room. And there really wasn't many other guys in there. And Phil wouldn't name the other player. He said, but the other player closed up the folding chair. You know the folding chairs they sit on, the big metal ones?
Right.
Like the ones at the Garden.
Sure.
The basketball ones.
Front of the locker.
And he went to put it in his locker, and he grazed the back of the guy's leg.
Who
grazed the back of Marsh's leg.
Okay, another player.
And player X was flipped on by Marsh in front of everybody. And everybody kind of took it as, well, that's a little excessive. A little odd. He said actually it took him about 5 minutes to cool down.
So he's a lunatic.
Kind of
so he ain't
on
right.
edge. Called him on edge.
So he's crazy.
Like something's not right to begin with.
Maybe he's taking too many hits to the head.
Sometimes pressure just, you know, pressure situation gets the people more than others. That's all. Probably, yeah, obviously, doesn't have the character to play here.
Well, speaking of pressure, character, and
yeah,
being able to handle the market, what a perfect transition.
Oh.
David Price. His manager spoke about him yesterday, pregame.
Kudos, Steve Burton.
Alex
Kudos.
Cora. Had a little back and forth with Steve Burton from WBZ TV Channel 4 about the Red Sox pitcher. Here it is from yesterday.
What about that guy like Price when he says I'm soft?
I'm soft. You think he's soft?
At times he can be.
Why?
He said he was.
Well, if he says he was, he is.
And he's soft?
He took a line drive yesterday off the chest or whatever. He kept pitching, so he shows up every 5 days, man. He competes. And then since day one, I saw the bullpens and what he does to prepare every day. If that's soft, give me five soft guys every day because he can pitch.
Man, Cora took the high road there. Excessively. Should have been in that spot. But really good there by Steve Burton. Quick responses.
Right on top of it.
Why do you think he's soft? Told me he's soft. Do you think he's soft? Why was Steve Burton there yesterday? Is Steve Burton there every day? Is Steve Burton a beat writer? Does he cover the Sox every day? No. Steve Burton was sitting down here because David Price talked the day before. David Price drew attention to this, okay? As David Price usually does. And he created a drama down there. And now, his manager's got to answer questions, full well knowing that David Price is aware of everything. Right? Because David Price is more concerned about an anonymous egg follower on Twitter that trolls him.
Here's what I've started
bugs
to think.
Him.
I don't think David Price wants us to like him.
You don't need to be liked or you don't want to be liked.
I think something.
And he's like, that's where we're at.
That's going on here. He doesn't want us to like him.
He's accepted it. That's where we're at. I got to blow my arm out.
Some people like being the martyr. And when things are going too well, he needs something to make him feel bad.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like Ricky Bobby's dad in Talladega Nights.
Yeah, tell me.
Everything's going, hey, everything's copacetic. You got the two little brats in line. The grandmother's taking care of them. Ricky's finally getting back off his feet. He's getting a job. They're sitting there eating at Applebee's. And there, and he's cutting his steak. And one of the grandkids goes, "My, this is awesome. We should come back here for family night every week." The grandfather puts the fork down. He says, "Come here, please. Did I order onions on my steak?" She goes, "Yes, yes, you did. I didn't order these on steak." He knew that he had to create some sort of drama for him to get his ass at Applebee's and on his head because things were going too smoothly. And that guy needs that in his life.
He had four good starts in a row. And what did he do? He goes out there and media about having called him soft, which is something that he created, not anybody. Allergies in Texas.
I think the
tingly fingers in New York.
I think the hit stunned him. I think it did. How could it not? You heard the audio there in Nesson. He groans, lets out a, it got him. Probably went through his mind, I may have to come out of this game, but then also in the back of his mind, I can't come out of this game because I get my ass booed. That's what he's telling you. That's where it's at with me. I got to blow my arm out to get out of a game.
He didn't. He didn't come out of the game.
I know he didn't. Don't tell me it didn't cross his mind. Maybe in another start, I'm repeating myself here again.
Yeah. But he should have just said, "Yeah, that hurt. Got hit pretty hard, but I was okay to stay in the game."
Line shot again.
Ooh.
I mean, that had to have hurt.
Yeah, it hurt.
And just say, "Yeah, of course it hurt. I got drilled in the chest with it, but hey, it was no big deal. I brushed it off. I stayed in the game. End of story." And then you say, "Okay. All right. Now, would we be talking about him for the last couple of days? No. Would Alex Gore be getting questions about it a day later? No."
Yeah.
But it would have been one thing to point to at some point that he hung in there.
Like I said.
Which he did.
He's the most
he deserves credit.
He is the hardest athlete to root for. And I hope he gets blown up on starts. I do. I can root for everybody else. You went to the playoffs last year. You won stuff without him. I was hurt. You really need him? I really trust him?
There's something weird where he wants everyone to hate him.
He's got to root for him because he pitches for you? No, you don't.
It's becoming his comfort spot.
You got this many guys. You got other guys to root for. Give me Chris Sale every night. Give me five freaking Chris Sales. That's what Alex Cora probably really wants to say.
Headlines with Hardy right here. But before we do that, a quick practice for Zoe. For Brad Stevens coming up at 12:50. Hardy, you ready?
Yeah, okay.
All right, we welcome in the head coach of the Boston Celtics, Brad Stevens. Hi, Brad.
Hey, guys, what's up?
Hey, Coach, heading to the Cape a little earlier than maybe expected to this year.
Sports Hub headlines.
No. A little over a half hour from now, the Red Sox and Blue Jays will wrap up their three-game set. The Red Sox will put Andrew Benintendi out there to bat first. He's also in center field, followed by Xander Bogaerts at short, J.D. Martinez in left, Rafael Devers at third base, Eduardo Nunez your DH today. Then it's Brock Holt at second base, Blake Swihart at first, Christian Vasquez behind the plate, and Jackie Bradley Jr. in right and batting ninth, Eduardo Rodriguez the starter, looking to improve on his already impressive 5-1 record and 4.02 ERA. Red Sox got another 8-3 win over the Blue Jays last night. Rick Porcello picking up his 7th win of the year. Game 2 in Stanley Cup Final tonight. It's the Golden Knights once again playing host to the Washington Capitals. Knights are up 1-0 in the series. The NBA Finals don't begin until tomorrow night in Oakland when the Golden State Warriors host the Cavaliers. Headlines are brought to you by Spectrum, America's fastest-growing TV, internet, and voice company, hiring field technicians, great benefits, 17 weeks paid training, jobs.spectrum.com. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5 The Sports Hub.
.12:38 here at the Baseball Tavern. Zolak and Bertrand today brought to you by Budweiser from the Baseball Tavern. 617-779-0985. We've got open phone lines. You want to grab one, go right on ahead.
Just do it.
Just go ahead.
Do it now.
Do it. Been here all day.
Do it now. If you have a question for us,
What are we doing?
Just do like, hey, you know, like, shortly we'll be out. I'm having some pancakes or waffles at IHOP. I'll take your questions for the next 10 minutes.
Oh, they ask me anything?
Yep. Jimmy Stewart, right now, Tina, hit me up on this guy. And I'm like, nah, I'm good. Next 10 minutes, I'll take your questions.
It's Luka Doncic. He's a big guy.
Yeah.
He might be the number one pick.
I don't like his name.
That's what you want to do? You want to do a live Ask Me Anything?
Yeah, do a live Ask Me Anything. 10 minutes.
Okay.
Let's go. 617-779-0985. It's a weird day here, so we'll do a weird day, weird segment.
We're gonna,
you know what we should do?
What?
Like, which intern's in today? Chet? Colin?
Colin.
Whatever his name is?
Colin?
This kid's, like, chiming in on Slack.
What?
What? Colin. Colin's adding stuff to Slack.
Right now?
Like, what would the Zolak and Bertrand show be if Colin was the producer? Jim, you know what I'm talking about. What'd he pull up on Slack today?
What'd he put in there today?
So here's what our show would be like.
Two items.
If the freaking intern who's trying to add stuff to our show was programming
And
it.
By the way, if you're not familiar with Slack, it's just a program where you can have a running
we do a chat log of, right.
Yeah,
it's
think
nice.
Of it as a chat where
it's
you can post
cool.
things.
A tweet from Deion Sanders.
Oh, great.
Y'all
we talk about him a lot.
Give the NBA MVP award to Harden after what I witnessed last year. And this year, when it's all on the line, I'm done with the NBA. King James should be the unanimous winner.
Okay, but hasn't that already been voted on?
Yes.
Yeah, that was done at the end of the regular season there, boss.
Okay. Next one.
Idiot.
Stupid.
Story about Ben Simmons dating Kendall Jenner.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, kids.
Uh-huh.
How many of our listeners would love to talk about that?
Am I supposed to care about that?
Apparently.
But who's dating who?
He thought it was
according to him,
enough
he thinks
to
it's pertinent to the program.
To our show, yeah.
Pertinent to the program to actually take
So I'm
the
sorry,
time.
Who's dating Kendall Jenner again?
Simmons.
Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons, Kendall Jenner.
They like the NBA.
Okay.
They sure do.
That family loves athletes.
They love the Hoopers. So, I heard Lamar Odom's working out, trying to get back in shape to get the middle one back.
He's like 100 years old, though.
The Kardashian curse, though.
Yeah, the overrated one.
That's the three bad things. Is they re-signed Brett Brown to a three-year extension. Their GM's on using burner accounts on Twitter, and now they're dating a Jenner.
Ooh.
A Kardashian.
Ooh.
So maybe it is part of the show.
Although the Cavs are in the finals, and there was that whole Tristan Thompson thing going on.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, so they're not cursed by it.
No, no.
They're in the finals. They won Game 7. We'll talk to Brad Stevens coming up at 12:50, less than 10 minutes from now.
When's Beaker in tomorrow?
Mabel wants to know how to get the nickname Beetle.
Here we go.
Is that right, Mabel?
Hi, boys. Happy. How are you guys?
Hi, Mabel.
First and foremost, 100 more days until NFL season, and I had a
99, Mabel, 99.
Okay, sorry, 99. So, since I'm a fairly new listener to you guys, why do they call you Beetle? Where did that nickname come from, Beetle?
You know, I wish it were a good story, but it's not. Maz started calling me that, like, a month into the station. Ask him. He doesn't even have a good explanation for it. I don't know. It just sort of stuck.
Was it Beetle Bailey?
I thought so, but I don't know.
And he didn't know the
He can't seem to remember.
He doesn't know the characters. You want to call you Sarge? Or
yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Like he was going for like an insult there, and then
right.
he screwed it up.
Maz even messed up Maz's own joke.
He may have, but it stuck.
It's a good nickname, Beetle.
But also, like, how irrelevant can you get?
Right.
When was the last time they produced a Beetle Bailey cartoon?
I don't know. Every time we go in Chachi's office in the back there, he's watching Hogan's Heroes. How the hell you even still watch that stuff? TV Land? All in the Family reruns? It's crazy.
Beetle Bailey, which launched in 1950.
Maz. Watch Maz cutting his grass. Seems like a guy that still reads the comics in the papers.
It actually was still being produced as of this year, but the creator, Mort Walker, passed away. He passed away earlier this year. So I guess it was still being produced somewhere. Somehow. And there's that story for you. That's all I got. Now, the real question is, should I put it on a Red Sox jersey? An authentic one.
And put Beetle
like
on
all these people here. Because
it's
got to
be a completely random number, though. It can't be like a number of a play. It's got to be a random number.
What the hell's this kid doing?
Push-ups?
Looking in here. Hey. What's up?
I don't know. What number should I go for?
Beetle, turn around. Beetle.
No.
There's a screen on the window. He can't see us. It is, kid.
What is he doing?
I don't know.
What is he looking at? What's wrong with him?
Go back to school.
Is he okay? Oh, you know what he's doing, so?
What's he doing?
We can't see what he's looking at. There's a schedule. See, it's one of these screen windows.
There's
small fine print on the outside of that window that we can't see. He's reading what's on the window.
Oh, okay.
He's looking at the Red Sox schedule. What's wrong with this kid?
A quick little Red Sox nugget here.
Please,
sure.
You got
Alex Cora indicated the Red Sox would add a starter for one turn through the rotation next week.
What day, does he say?
That, with the Monday day off, would give them a couple days extra rest. Could be Stephen Wright throwing to Blake Swihart.
In a real game?
He's been catching the knuckleball, apparently, on the side, yeah.
Aha.
So we're going to get Stephen Wright and Swihart.
We have a Doug Mirabelli.
So which game is he going to do it? They have Monday off? I thought they played a game Monday.
It doesn't say. It said that turn with the day off on Monday would give them all a couple days extra rest.
Try to get Price extra rest for the Yankees. Well, all this prior to the Yankees at the end of the month.
At least that would give some purpose to Blake Swihart being a member of the Red Sox, no?
Well, he's playing first today.
That's good. Red Sox do have an off day Monday. They open up a series with the Tigers on Tuesday. So the question is, do they do it Tuesday, or they do it, I'm guessing that means they do it Tuesday, or are they going to do it Sunday?
That's
there's
so nice.
No. They're starting their four guys in Houston, I believe.
Good, we're on air.
Okay.
E-Rod gets the start today. The other four guys get the starts in Houston.
Well, Sale goes, right, because Sale goes Friday.
Yep.
Price goes Saturday, and then who would be Sunday? So maybe it's
Porcello,
Sunday.
Pitched last night.
Huh.
Oh, okay. Unless they're going to pitch Porcello on Tuesday to give him the extra rest.
Maybe they want him to.
Maybe that's it. That makes more sense. Yeah, so Porcello will go Tuesday is what will happen. My guess. That's just my guess. We'll have to wait and see how that plays out. Coming up next, we will talk with the head coach of the Boston Celtics, Brad Stevens. Stay tuned.
So, at the Beatles. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Just because you're at work doesn't mean you have to miss a story. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's 12:50 here on Zolak and Bertrand from the Baseball Tavern, brought to you by Budweiser. This Bud's for you. 617-779-0985. We'll get back to your calls coming up in a little bit. We got to go to the expert hotline. Welcome in the head coach of the Boston Celtics. Brad Stevens is with us. Hi, Brad.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, coach. Well, you've had a chance to sort of digest this thing now for a couple days. And, you know, going back to that Game 7, is there anything that you wish you could have done personally as a coach to change the outcome of that game and be playing in these finals?
I mean, I think you always go back at every game and look at that. You know, I think obviously in a game like the other day where we held the other team to 87 points and, you know, played about as well defensively as we have the entire series when we really had some moments, I thought there were a few key kind of segments of the game. And you know, having gone back now and watched it a few times, I think it's pretty much what we were looking at. That 35-23 in the second quarter, you know, we had four straight possessions where it stayed that score. And I felt like that once they hit a three, got a two, now all of a sudden it's a couple of possession game. That kind of changed the tide of the game. And then at the start of the third, when we came out, I just didn't think we were generating the same offensive looks as we had, especially in the first half. I felt really good about, even through that stagnant run in the first, I felt really good about the looks we were generating, how hard we were moving it. Our bodies were moving. There was a real purpose to what we were doing. And I just thought we were a little bit more stagnant there at the start of the third, found our rhythm. And did a lot of good things through the end of the third, early fourth. And then I thought from about 5 minutes to, I think it was a minute and a half, we got great looks. But unfortunately, they didn't all go down. And then I think the one where, you know, we had the ball, I guess it was 2 minutes left when we had our turnover, and then we missed the three with a minute and a half when it was a 5-point game both times. You know, at that point in time, because of the hole we had dug, you have to be able to score. You have to be able to, generate a great, great look. And, you know, I guess your margin is a little bit down when you haven't scored the whole game. And it's one of those things that you're everybody in our group was stung by. It hurt. You could tell in exit meetings that, you know, nobody wanted to have exit meetings, that's for sure. You know, I think we all felt like, you know, we could have, given ourselves an even better shot. But those guys were the reason why we were there, and it was a privilege to coach that team.
You mentioned how many good looks you guys got in that game. In hindsight, do you wish you took fewer threes maybe in the second half?
Well, the only threes that I ever really have concern with are the threes that aren't good ones. So, like, any of the inside-out threes, and you even go through, like, the end of the game, we had a great sequence where Morris post, they double the post, which, by the way, if they're doubling the post and they're over-helping, like, the shot you're going to get is the inside-out kick-out or driving kick, right? So, with Morris's kick-out, he made a perfect pass. Smart made a beautiful extra pass to Al. Great look. Next time down the floor, Morris post gets fouled. We had action on the weak side for Jalen and Jason set up, but the opportunity for Morris to take advantage of that and go to the line was the right move. Smart makes a great play on the offensive rebound, and, you know, one of the best shots in basketball is an offensive rebound kick out three, and we had two of them in a row, that I think those guys make, and I believe in them. And, you know, even when a night's not going great, you know, I've seen Terry Rozier and Marcus Morris and Marcus Smart and Al Horford and on down the line, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown on their off nights step up and make the next one. And we weren't able to capitalize in those moments, but that was at no fault of making the right basketball play. And so there were a couple of plays where I thought, like, we rushed threes, maybe trying to hit home runs. But there were a couple plays where we drove it into no man's land, too, and either turned it over or tried really hard twos. And I think that, you know, there's a fine line there. And by the end of the game, Cleveland was really packing it in. If you look at a couple of times where we had some opportunities to drive, they were really packing it in. And the kick-out three was the right play.
Coach, you've talked about LeBron a lot. You've complimented him. You also deferred to him a lot in this series, prior to games, after games. You've coached against him multiple times now. He's played a long time in this league. He may have been better in other series, but is this the most efficient that he's been, you know, playing against him? Not to say that he doesn't have more around him, but you know what I'm saying? He's not taking 50
better.
Shots. Yeah.
He's continuously gotten better, and he's never been, you know, I think a lot of people would say LeBron maybe at times has been a pass, you know, thinks pass first. And, right. He's even caught some flack from that, and which he makes the right basketball play, and he puts his teammates in position to be successful. You know, the idea of Love being out, obviously they lose a guy in Love that has a great ability to score the ball, shoot the ball, post the ball. But that meant more time with the ball in LeBron's hands and probably more switchability on defense that I thought affected us. And, you know, even though I thought we got great looks in that first half, I thought when we didn't knock a few of those down in that run and, you know, again, they just kind of hung around in there and then took the game over, that switching and that athleticism made it a lot tougher. And LeBron's ahead of that, too. Because he can guard 1 through 5.
After the game had ended, LeBron and Jason Tatum shared a moment on the floor, and that's been shown across all the major networks. People have seen that by now. What did you make of the series that Jason Tatum had, and especially the way he showed up in Game 7?
Not surprising. I mean, I think the way that he played all the way through the year, he answered every challenge, met every challenge. He's got a chance to be really, really good. And, you know, one of the things that, like you talk about with anybody, especially young guys, is there's always something to respond to. And for most young guys, it's the fact that it was a lot harder than you thought it would be, and you've got to prove that you can belong, and here's how you do it. And for him, it's going to be handling some of the success, you know, and I have no reason to believe he won't. He's got a great personality. He's got a great demeanor, a great way about him. But just like there are challenges that come with having to up your game to perform at a certain level, there are challenges that come with the responsibility of performing like that all the time.
Do you think you coached Marcus Smart for the last time? And will it be hard to retain him? Because I know he sort of put a dollar value out there, and he was asked the question, though. But you think there's going to be a good market for him out there as a free agent?
Well, I hope I haven't. You know, I think that's, you know, he is a guy that brings it. We all talk about all the intangibles that he brings and all that means. And there's, you know, it's clear that he's got a, you know, he should have a good market. He's a really good player. What that means and how that all works itself out, you know, that'll be up to, you know, obviously, if somebody else puts a counter offer out there or, you know, where we are. But those aren't my calls. I'm hopeful that we have him back. But at the end of the day, I trust our front office, as I always have. They've done an incredible job of putting this group together.
Brad, in an offseason, what's the role of an NBA head coach as it relates to offseason moves? And obviously here you guys have a great collaboration. That may not be true in all places, but it is here. So what does your offseason look like in terms of roster moves and what happens?
Well, you know, I think that Danny and I we've been together for each of the last couple of days talking about all that stuff. And those have been more informal conversations. But I'd say most of the time it's just your daily work and your informal conversations that those happen. And, you know, those guys have a, you know, a kind of a map in their minds. They have all the different things and different, you know, avenues that could happen, and they're prepared for everything. What I do is I walk in at the end of the season and say, you know, first and foremost in the draft, who do you want me to start watching, so that I can present an opinion that is educated, instead of just, you know, off of watching one game or knowing the person's coach or whatever the case may be. And then I start asking, you know, both in the free agent and trade areas, who do you think I should take a look at further or study further and how they would fit, et cetera. And then he gives me a list usually, and I go to work on that along with our staff. And, you know, but we're doing that probably about 40% of our time that we're together now. And the other majority of the time is kind of going back and rehashing what we did really well, what we need to do better, how we see the guys that were injured fit back into this puzzle, and assuming, you know, the best, and that's most everybody's back.
All right. So not going to Cape Cod anytime soon or playing Wellesley Country Club. If you need a fourth, let me know.
As you know, when you have a season like that ends and it's just like this bitter, bitter ending, and just a, you know, you, I thought our guys, again, they were incredible to be around every day, and that's when it hits you. Like all the other stuff of, you know, getting to the finals or this or that, it's just when you're in that locker room, just getting a chance to be a part of that locker room is what makes it special. And so that was really tough. So yesterday I left a little early and went home, told my son, throw your stuff on, and we're going, and we're just going to drive until we find some sand. And we went and found some sand just to sit there. And we both stared out into the ocean. And, you know, he was on me. He was on me about why we're not traveling to San Francisco on Tuesday. So I couldn't really get away from it, even with him sitting right there.
That's a great story. That's a great story. But it hits you like a wall when you're done. It really does. It's like you run right into a brick wall. It's okay.
I mean, some years I'm sure it's like, God, we're done.
Right,
but we've been fortunate. We haven't had very many of those, and it's, again, it's the trajectory is a fun part of it. We feel like we've made good progress, but that doesn't lessen the sting of the other night. That's for damn sure.
All right, Coach. We appreciate you checking in with us every week, all season long. We've enjoyed it. Hopefully you have at some level as well.
No, it's always enjoyable. And I appreciate all the time and thought put into that first question, especially every week.
All right, I remember it. I'll see you down at camp, Coach. Thanks for checking in. It's tough calling after that. All right, buddy. Can you imagine being one of those townies out there, one of those beaches? Where do you think he hit?
I don't know.
Oh, God, he had to go South Shore. He kind of out there in that Wellesley area, and you head east, and you didn't head west. I was like, he didn't go to a Lowe's parking lot and sit in the sandbox. So he went to the ocean. Like one of the Billy Lannies looking around saying, hey, look at that Brad Stevens over
there. I bet he gets treated better than any of the other coaches in town if they were to go somewhere. I believe that.
I bet he blends better than any of the other coaches.
Yes, because he's got a regular guy element to him.
He's
very
sure
attractive.
Yeah, you put the baseball hat on, put your head down, and keep walking.
Yes.
Yeah, he's a good blender.
Good blender.
That's nice of him to check in.
Yeah, it is. It's over, man. It comes over quick. His son is giving him the business about it. All the things he saw wrong with the game. Like that. He might have a future in this business.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right, we're going to check in with Hardy, get the headlines. Zoe's going to talk to one of the many guests here in the Baseball Tavern.
Hold on, I'm on air.
And we're back.
Second.
And we're back in 90.
All right.